Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Asaf Romorowski joins me right now at Romorowski.com. The man is the expert on BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanction. I saw him speak at the JCC just last night. It was open to the public, and I wanted to dig in on the conversation here, sir, and I appreciate you joining us, doctor, because this story of BDS, of boycott, divestment, and sanction, is more than just a story of what's happening to Jewish kids on campuses. It's a story of how campuses are turning into these politically correct nightmares. But to dig in, I want to start at the beginning. How do you describe to people who don't know, what do you describe BDS, boycott, divestment, and sanction as?
Well, first of all, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's really a joy to be on your show. I think that the boycott movement today has become the ultimate springboard for cascading an anti-Israel, anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic narrative on most college campuses around the world. It is the vehicle where pro-Palestinian students have used the architecture to basically cascade this anti-Semitic message around their campuses. It is dipped into not only the student body, but also the faculty. So you see this coming on both sides of the agenda.
And it's the faculty in more than places like Cal Berkeley,
right?
We've seen this pop up here at UIndy, University of Indianapolis. We see this, I'm assuming, on the IU campuses and other places. It's not just the idea of one errant faculty member, as you noted last night in your talk. They literally try to find the ways to get appointed to chairs, to really deciding what a curriculum is, so they can then push their curriculum.
Agreed, 100%. Israel today has become a litmus test for most academics. Academia tends to be to the left, and Israel has become a litmus test for what it means to be a good liberal academic. And so there is this ongoing test, so to speak, in particular within the humanities, where this is very pervasive, where people, you know, support this idea, which is why you're seeing on the academic side of things over the past few years, we've seen academic associations calling for their peers to support the idea of boycott. It started with the American Asian Studies Association, the Women's Studies Association, the American Studies Association. Currently now in debate is the Modern Language Association, Middle East Studies Association of America, which is obviously the pinnacle of a lot of the problems, has also been debating BDS. So you're seeing from peers around the country, academics are saying, well, BDS is the moral just responsibility of myself as an academic to take this on. Furthermore, I would say, in particular in academia, we've seen since the 1960s a development of scholar activists. I would say individuals who basically replace their scholarship with activism. And you see this a lot found in the areas of race, class, and gender, post-colonial studies, who have basically seen and been able to adopt Israel and see it as the root cause of all problems, also to flip the narrative, to basically argue that Israel is the quintessential Goliath and the Palestinians are the evergreen David. And so if we believe in that, is our moral responsibility to teach our students how to address things in that fashion. And so you've lost, unfortunately, the element of where propaganda basically has replaced scholarship.
Talking to Dr. Asaf Romorowski, a fellow in the Middle East Forum and co-author of Religion, Politics, and the Origins of Palestine Refugee Relief, getting your start as research fellow at the Middle East Forum, which is a Philadelphia-based think tank headed up by Daniel Pipes, a very, very well-known name in this world. But one of the questions is that when you see BDS on campus, and you see it very often, Students for Justice for Palestine, right? That's the group that you usually see behind this in so many campuses. It is thought of as, okay, this is something about Jews. This is something about anti-Semitism. But really what it's about, it's not about trying to, quote unquote, expose something or expose some kind of evil about Israel. the real insidiousness of BDS is about ostracizing these Jewish students, about trying to isolate these Jewish students. And so therefore, to do that, they have to have an effect on all students, which means it doesn't matter if your kid's Jewish or not. It doesn't matter where they come from, their socioeconomic background or what have you. This movement is trying to have an effect on your kids. What is that like, and how does that get dealt with? Let's start with what it's like, and then I'm going to hold you through the break, and we'll talk about how it's dealt with.
Sure. You're right. I mean, where you're seeing that many of these groups, let me step back by arguing that the evergreen symbol of all oppressed groups has become the Palestinian cause. So many of the groups on campus that students face on campus, from Peace and Justice to LGBTQ groups, Black Lives Matter, in some way, shape, or form have adopted the Palestinian narrative. And to that extent, they have broadened the scope of the conversation. So you're right. It's not only just about SJP selling the Palestinian narrative, but where they have made coalitions with groups. I mean, of late, Black Lives Matter became very popular, even before, now, of course, during the elections, where they've adopted a language what Israel is committing is genocidal actions in Israel, and they've used that language. There was a delegation of Black Lives Matter that went to Israel. There was a lot of questions about how they got there, who sponsored them, and things like that. And they have taken this on back to the campuses. Furthermore, there have been a clear adaptation through what is known as intersectionality, where they, my oppressed, you're oppressed, we're all oppressed because we feel similar oppression. And so when you go back to the riots in Baltimore and Ferguson, the biggest banners were from Ferguson to Palestine is a crime, making, again, those linkages connect.